The text of scripture that I want you to focus on tonight is Job chapter 2 and verse 10. Job chapter 2 verse 10. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? We want to think tonight about the subject, the problem of evil. The problem of evil is one of the greatest obstacles, supposedly, to people coming to the Lord. In Job chapter 2 and verse 10, we have not only the problem of evil, but I want to kind of turn it around and suggest to you that we also have the problem of good. We hear a lot of talk today about the problem of evil, but what about the problem of good? So we're going to split the message into those two parts tonight. I'm going to keep it simple. The problem of evil and the problem of good. First of all, the problem of evil. The problem of evil is not a problem for the Lord. I want you to grasp that tonight. The problem of evil in the world and suffering in the world, it's not a problem for our great God, our wonderful Creator God. It is no problem to Him. But it is a problem to us because of our finite minds. We find it a problem. We need to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. And if you go down, please, to verse 9. Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, our thoughts compared to the thoughts of Almighty God are so finite. They are so limited. We have such a limited understanding because we are fallen creatures, and therefore we do not see the big picture. We are not God. We are just creatures that He has made. We are creatures of the dust. And let's remember that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Perhaps there is trouble in your family circle tonight. There is sickness. There are circumstances that are troubling you, worrying you. You're worried about the future. I want to tell you that the Lord has a plan in it all. Okay? I want you to remember that just because you cannot understand why it's happening to you and your family, don't then assume that God doesn't know what He's doing and that God has no purpose in what is happening in your situation. I want to tell you, I want to make it clear tonight, God has a purpose. And I'll go further, I'll just be very clear. God has a purpose in evil and suffering. In the evil and suffering that takes place in our world, God has a purpose in it. Now, whether we understand it or not, that's a different matter. And that's not the all-important matter. The all-important matter and the all-important reality is that God has a purpose. He is sovereign. And all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The Lord does not ask you to understand what is happening in your life and in your family, but He simply asks you to trust His wisdom. There are things that happen in our lives that we just simply cannot understand. We go through pain and we cannot understand why the Lord allows us to go through it. But let me try to help you to understand it tonight. by using the illustration of a little baby. I wonder if there anybody in the church has a little baby. Well, we have a little baby. And she's going to have her vaccine. She's going to need her immunizations. 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever it is. I was reading before I came out a wee booklet about immunization and vaccines. There's a whole raft of vaccines that the wee one needs. Isabella's going to be at the surgery. She's going to be at the surgery a lot over the next year. She's going to get injections. She's going to feel the pain. And she'll not understand why she's going through the pain. It was the same whenever those of us who are older, whenever Mummy was holding us in her arms and we were at the surgery and we were getting our vaccines and we squealed the surgery down because we didn't understand why the nurse was sticking this big needle into us. We didn't understand the pain. But the nurse understood and Mummy and Daddy understood that vaccine is for a purpose. It's for the good of the child. Folks, I want to say tonight that even though we do not understand the pain that God allows us to go through, our Heavenly Father knows that we need to go through it. He has a purpose in it and it is for our good. And someday, those of us who are washed in the blood of Jesus, born again, someday he will tell us why we went through the pain. He will tell us, if you like, why we had to have that spiritual vaccine. Why the Lord had to use his spiritual injection needle. He will tell us, he will explain to us why in his sovereign wisdom, he put us through it. You see, one of the most wonderful texts of scripture to do with the problem of evil is in John chapter 13. And it's the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter. And I'm sure that most of you know it without even turning to it tonight. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. There is a hereafter. I hope that you're ready for it. I hope all is well with your soul. I hope that your name is written down in heaven. And if it is, then one day you will sit down beside Jesus Christ and you'll be able to ask him whatever question you want to ask him. And you see, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he'll answer every question that you have. You're not going to be able to stump him. If you ask me a question after the meeting tonight, there's a chance you could stump me. I'll have to say, can I get back to you on that? But nobody will ever stump the Lord Jesus because he has all the answers. So the problem of evil is not a problem for the Lord. It's a problem for us and our finite minds. As I take this topic tonight, and it's a big topic, and it's really nearly too much for one night, but we'll do our best to get through it. But as I take this topic tonight, I want you to remember, folks, I'm not trying to get God off the hook. All right? He's not on the hook. And he certainly does not need this worm of the dust to get him off the hook. He does not need me to save his reputation. He's the Almighty. He does all things well. Everything he does is perfect. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Job 40 verse 1, moreover the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Daniel chapter 4 verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Romans chapter 9 verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? We are nothing. We are worms of the dust. We are grasshoppers in the sight of Almighty God. And so we do not come to him and say, Lord, your reputation's being dragged through the gutter here. Do you want us to help you out, Lord? He doesn't need us to get him off the hook, because he's not on it. But nonetheless, it is my privilege to be able to be an ambassador for Christ and for the Lord, and to be able to speak a word for him. And so, to get back to the point that I made earlier, God has a purpose in everything that takes place in this universe. He is in control of everything, and that includes evil and suffering. God controls evil. I believe it with all my heart. It would be a lot worse if evil controlled God, don't you think? That would be a miserable existence. That wouldn't give you much hope. That wouldn't give you much comfort if we believed that evil was in control of God and God was at the mercy of evil and God didn't have control of the what was happening in the world. But he does. He has control of what's happening in every part of the world. He's in control of what's happening in your life, in your family, and in my life and my family. And let me just say, folks, before we go any further, could it be that what the Lord is doing in our families at the present time is for the purpose of bringing us to himself? Is he using your troubles, your circumstances, to remind you that life at best is very brief? You're not going to be here forever. There's people who think they're going to be here forever, but they're not, and none of us are. Compared to eternity, sure, life's just a blink, isn't it? Job chapter 1 verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Job's God is a sovereign God. Nothing takes him by surprise. It was God who put Job into his crucible of suffering. And he did it for a purpose. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said in another place, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. All the suffering that a believer goes through. By the way, I hope that we're all believers tonight. If you're not, why not? But I'm assuming we're all believers in the Lord Jesus tonight, depending on him alone for salvation. But every trial that a believer goes through, it is for the purpose of refining us and getting rid of the dross. And if you think you have no dross and you don't need to be refined tonight, well, think again. As the wee chorus goes, he's still working on me. So that's the problem of evil. Let me move on tonight to the problem of good. This is a major problem for atheists. You see, the argument goes that evil proves that there's no God. There's evil in the world, there's suffering in the world, so that is proof that there's no God. Or at least that if there is a God, he's not all powerful or he doesn't care. But what about good and goodness? Surely goodness proves that God does exist. Surely the goodness that we see in our world from day to day proves that there is a God. We experience the goodness of God every day, don't we? If only we would take the time to think about it and count our blessings. There's a little poem that sums it up so well. How good it is that God above has never gone on strike, because he was not treated fair in things he didn't like. If only once he'd given up and said, "That's it, I'm through. I've had enough of those on earth, so this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun. Cut off the heat supply. And to the moon give no more light and run the oceans dry. Then to make things really tough and put the pressure on, turn off all the vital oxygen till every breath is gone." You know he would be justified if fairness was the game, for no one has been more abused or met with more disdain than God, and yet he carries on supplying you and me with all the favours of his grace and everything for free. Men say they want a better deal, and so on strike they go. But what a deal we've given God, to whom all things we owe. We don't care whom we hurt to gain the things we like, but what a mess we'd all be in if God should go on strike. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. What is the greatest example of the goodness of God? It is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we finish tonight, I want to take you to the cross. At the center of Christianity is a cross. God is not distant from human suffering, but has become part of it. The cross shows the holiness of God. Let me leave that with you tonight. The cross shows the holiness of God. You know, folks, God's greatest attribute is not love. Our post-Christian society is convinced that the only attribute God has is love, and that this attribute trumps all of his other attributes. We see the result of this delusion today in the justification of all kinds of sins under the umbrella of God's love. Homosexuality is okay because God is a God of love, people say. Drunkenness is okay because God is a God of love, people say. Gambling is okay because God is a God of love, people say. But homosexuality is not okay, and drunkenness is not okay, gambling is not okay, no sin is okay, because God is a holy God. At the cross of Christ, we see the holiness of God. He is so holy that even his spotless Son is not spared. Justice must be done. Sin must be punished, because holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. If you're not saved tonight, the holiness of God should strike terror into your soul. Because if you continue on your present path, all the fury of his divine anger will be unleashed against you someday. The sluice gates of his wrath will be opened someday. The only thing, by the way, that's holding it back and keeping those gates closed at the present time is the mercy of God. Oh, our God is holy, and we see that at the cross. But not only do we see the holiness of God at the cross of Christ, we see the love of God. The love of God. What is love? There was a song about that, wasn't there? What is love? If you want to find the answer, you got to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And there's a wonderful description of true love and God's love in that chapter. But let me just leave one phrase with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. True love does not rejoice in iniquity. That's why God cannot sweep my sin and your sin under the carpet and say, it's all right, Doc, just come on ahead into heaven. You see, he does not rejoice in iniquity. He cannot rejoice in sin. That is proof that he is a God of love. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. And we see the love of God at the cross because as the Lord Jesus becomes sin for us, we see God, rather than rejoicing in iniquity, he pours out his wrath upon it. He pours out his wrath upon his beloved Son. Aren't you glad tonight that the Lord Jesus took your fire and brimstone? The fire and brimstone that I should have suffered and should have fallen upon my head and upon your head. It fell upon the holy head of the Lord Jesus. He took our fire and brimstone. It fell in Christ. Because of that we can be saved. Because of the wonderful love of God. Some people say today, God doesn't care. God is not a God of love. He has no compassion. Jesus doesn't care. I want to tell you tonight that he does care. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.